not only because of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Father, as we talk about your scriptures, I ask, Lord, that you would pierce our hearts and our minds and allow us to understand your truth that you have for us this morning. Allow us to leave here changed and transformed by your word. Amen. There is a number of people that are gathered around trying to figure out what's going on in this particular situation as Jesus is coming in. There's different people that decide, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to check out what's happening here, and my observations are important in this situation. And you know what? I'm going to make a decision about this, what's happening here." And I want to share with you, first of all, try to flash back with me 2,000 years. And we're back in Jerusalem, and Passover is coming up, and all these people are coming into Jerusalem. There's people from all over the place that are coming to celebrate Passover, because Passover is a hugely significant holiday for the Jewish people. The historian Josephus, he estimated that about 2 million people would arrive in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem isn't what it's like now. It was smaller. And so for 2 million people to arrive and to come into Jerusalem was a huge deal. Trying to get accommodations for all these people and trying to get them fed and everything else was a really, really big deal. Now, there's also a record that 256,500 lambs were slaughtered. That's 10 per person. And if you can imagine, all of this was going on at this specific time, and all these people are jubilant, and they're coming, and they're celebrating. But what happens is Jesus comes in on a colt. And some of them go, "Whoa, what is this? Wait, that's the guy that raised Lazarus. Whoa, here he comes, he's on a colt." And they start waving palm branches and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And in the language, what does it mean? Save us, right? It means save us. So they're shouting out, "Save us, save us." And what a lot of them were screaming was, "Save us from the Roman occupation." Because the Romans were occupying the land and they were ruling over the land. So they're shouting out, "Save us, save us, save us from these Romans." And Jesus is coming in. Yes, he's fulfilling this prophecy, and he's coming to fulfill the prophecy, but he's coming also to save them, but they don't understand what they're actually saying. It's a different salvation than they're desiring. They could only see the earthly things. Jesus had a much more expansive plan. And he has a much more expansive plan for us. The salvation that he has for us is powerful for each and every one of us. And save us, when he says save us, when he calls out save us, it means, when they're shouting this out, it means something so much more significant than they could grasp. And some of us, even sitting here today, may be going, I don't even really know what that means. Why do I need someone to save me? And you may have heard the term savior or salvation, and you may say, what does that even mean for me today as a man or a woman? What does that mean for me as a person, as a human being? Well, the first group we're going to focus on is the Romans. How would the Romans have looked at what was going on? Now, you have this guy sitting on a donkey colt, and he's walking into town on the back of a donkey colt. You have to understand that this triumphant entry was nothing in comparison to the Roman triumph. Does anyone know anything about the Roman triumph? It was a huge, bigger than the ticker tape parade that we see when we have war heroes come. Basically, when a warrior general killed 5,000 people at least and conquered territory and took over territory, they would come in on a Roman triumph. And what that would look like, they would be on a golden chariot being pulled by white horses right downtown, and thousands of people would gather and cheer and celebrate. Well, it was a bit different. So you're a Roman soldier, and you're almost laughing at what you're seeing, right? What, do they think this guy's a leader? He's on the donkey colt. He's nobody special. They're just waving palm branches. There's no soldiers lined up. There's nothing special or splendid about this guy. There's, yeah, they're cheering, but there's no big deal. There's palm branches on the ground. They're waving palm branches. And if you ever wonder why you get palm branches or why we even celebrate this, did you know that there's only a few stories of Jesus' life that are mentioned in all four Gospels? Did you know that this is one that is mentioned in all four Gospels? Did you know that? That the waving of the palms and Hosanna in the highest is mentioned in all four. And it's important that we really pay close attention to it, because it has major implications on our lives. Because Jesus is going through Jerusalem on the back of a colt. The Romans see this mere man no different than anybody else. He just looks normal. Not only that, he's not that good looking. So they're going, who's this? He's nobody special. And he arrives on the scene, and they're not even thinking that's that big a deal. There were some Jewish zealots that on occasion over the Passover time would try to gain a bunch of people, and they would try to cause some problems. So they were likely thinking, a Roman soldier was likely thinking, let's get a few more guys over here. They're going to try to do a little uproar here, and they're going to try to riot a little bit. But it didn't happen the way they thought. So as a Roman soldier, you're thinking, this is not a big deal. Nothing special is going on. And it's really insignificant. And it doesn't really have any impact. There's a passage in John 12:9. We've read this before, but it says, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, we've got Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, and they know this story. It's been circulating that Lazarus has been raised from the dead. He's walking around among people, and it is a major curiosity. There are some even sitting here this morning that want to see the spectacular and have arrived and are sitting in the seat to see spectacular things or be a part of what's going on here and wants to see what God's going to do and maybe just to socialize. See, people came to Passover. The point of going to Passover, celebrate Passover, go to Jerusalem, make that pilgrimage, was to celebrate what happened years prior when the angel of death passed over. But some weren't necessarily there for that reason. Just like when Jesus was going through the city and palm branches were waving all around, some weren't there to praise. They were there to see a spectacle, and they wanted to see a miraculous sign, and they wanted to see what's next. What's he going to do next? This guy's exciting. What's he going to do? Ooh, 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 ooh. What's he going to do? Did you know when, you remember when Jesus, when he healed that blind guy, when that beggar was begging and he was laying on the ground and he was a paralytic just begging, and Jesus goes and touches him and he stands to his feet? Do you remember that? Do you remember? Jesus is going to do something like that. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Oh, what's he going to do? Right? It was all about what Jesus was going to do for them so they could see. So the crowd came to see the spectacular. The crowd came to be social and have a festive atmosphere. They wanted to party, right? So there's another passage, John 12:18. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. Because this miraculous sign was given, they went out to meet him. They didn't go to meet him because he is God. They went to meet him because of the miraculous sign. There's a big difference there. Is your desire, is your heartbeat, is it to come and meet Jesus? Do you want to meet Jesus? Do you want to be with Jesus? And you may say, oh, this is annoying. Just be done with the sermon. I'm done. But do we want to meet Jesus? Is Jesus someone we truly not only want to see the spectacular, but we want to meet and engage and have an intimate relationship with? If we do, that's hugely important. John 6:30. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? You see, there was this desire for Jesus to just do something so they'll believe. But you know what? He did a whole bunch of stuff and people didn't necessarily believe, right? Jesus does stuff in our lives, and a lot of times we're so blind to our ambition or our surrounding circumstances that we lose focus and lose sight on what he's actually doing and how he's moving and how his power is at work in our lives. That's the attitude of some people, though. And in Mark 7:6, it says, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips because their hearts are far from me. In the same way, this is Matthew 23:28. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. How many want the miracles but miss the master? There's another group, the religious leaders. The religious leaders, yeah, they wanted to see a sign, but they also wanted to have his life. In John 12:19, so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. They were all about themselves. They were all about what they could get. They were all about their political power. They were all about their religious power. They were all about people following them rather than following the master. We should never be about people following us. Yes, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But may we follow Christ, but may Christ begin to reshape us in a way in which we will see his mighty work and mighty hand at work in our lives. You see, the Pharisees were all about what they could get and what they could gain and what it was that was most important to them rather than what was most important to God in their life. There's a big difference there as well. It's tragic when the religious positions sometimes take on a political feel. Some of you have likely been a part of a believing circle, but it became political. And it totally deterred from what God was doing. You see, it's not about politics, it's about relationship. And then a person rejects Christ for the things of the world. And people swap eternity for social, political gain. There are people that do this, and there are people that corrupt the community of faith because of selfish ambition and what they can get. May we never be a people like that. Amen? May we be a people that are being daily transformed and empowered by the beauty and splendor of a God that loves us and that has come for us. Yes, he came and he did miraculous signs and wonders, but it's not all about that, is it? It's about what is God doing in my heart, in my mind? What's that looking like? How is the power of the transformational Jesus moving in my heart? How is the Spirit moving in my life? Am I someone that has embraced Christ and is filled with the power of the Spirit on a daily basis? And if you don't know what that means or looks like, it is one of the most invigorating things that we can ever experience in this life. I do want to say this, though, that our faith is not an experiential faith. Our faith needs to be one that is committed and devoted to the Lord and Savior and the God, the one that people are crying out, "Save us, save us." Ezekiel 34, 2 through 3. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, cloth, you clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." That was Ezekiel. Did you know the Pharisees were doing the same thing? They didn't care at all about the flock. They cared about their own position and their own rank and how far up the pole they were going. Yet God cares about us in a way that is so much more substantial than that. And he desires us to be servants. Jesus came to serve. Yes, he was the best leader we've ever seen, but he came to serve. And his heart for service allowed him to be a powerful leader. Isaiah 56:11. "They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain." I think maybe some of us have met people like this. And they suck the life out of the people around them. And they pretend to be one thing, but they're actually something else. And there's a lot of phoniness. But we, as people, obviously understand that people have their flaws, right? We would all agree with that, that people have their flaws. But just because we're flawed people doesn't mean that we should continue in sin and continue in unrighteous living, right? There's got to be this action of repentance. It's an about-face, forward march. It's when we realize, yes, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by grace and I need to turn from that and move toward God. When we realize that and we progress on that journey, we discover this profound peace in the midst of all circumstances. So the people in the crowd that day, the ones who were amused and laughed at Jesus, like the Roman soldier. Well, that guy's nothing. Who really cares, right? There's people today very much like this that laugh and joke. Oh, how can any thinking person truly believe in Jesus? Because, I mean, it's a guy thousands of years ago who they say healed and freed people from demons and all this other stuff. How can anyone really believe that who's an intellectual? You see, we've corrupted our intellect in such a way that we've disregarded God and his power. Because if Jesus is truly God, then he is able to do whatever he wants to do, right? But what's weird is this. There's this weird dynamic because he's fully God and fully human. So when he was walking among us, he was constrained by his humanity, yet he had his divinity. So he was divine, yet human, so he could do these miraculous things because he was sin-free. So we see miraculous signs and wonders all around him. And he does depart from his disciples, and what does he say? You will be able to do even greater things than this, than these. So when we truly believe, that begins to happen. But there are doubters, there are haters. And you know what? There always have been. The second group are those who joined the party because they wanted to have a good time. They just wanted to see what was happening. They wanted to be around this Jesus who was performing these miraculous signs and wonders. And there were the ones who wanted the power and the prestige. They wanted to be like, look who I am. Yes, I'm special. Yeah, you know I'm special. Look at me, I'm special, right? You've been around a cocky, conceited person? You're just like, I cannot wait to be out of this person's presence. That was so not Jesus. He was somebody you're like, man, I want to be hanging out with that guy more often. You're driving home in your car, you're like, that guy was so much fun to be around. I just want to go back. Let's go back. Let's go hang out with him again. You know what? I want to spend more time with him. But with a cocky, conceited person, you're like, oh, no, here they come again. Oh, I got to deal with that again. Blah, 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 blah. Talk about yourself. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And you just listen to him for a little while, and then you're like, oh, and anyway, did you know that such and such? And you're like, then they go, oh, then I did this. Right? And then you go, how do I get out of this situation? But when you're hanging around Jesus, you're like, man, how can I be around this person more, right? I want to learn, and I want to learn about what he's talking about. This is intriguing. I sense this presence of love that I've never sensed before. I sense this weird power that, you know, I don't know what it is, but he's so real. You know, when we embrace him, we begin to experience that real Jesus, that God that reshapes us. There's people sitting here that can easily give a powerful testimony on what God has done in their life, how God has set them free. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about this one. There was one more that day. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philippi. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see. I got it. Here, give it to me, buddy. I'm just playing. I've always wanted to do that. I didn't hear it ring. I would have run down. What's up? How you doing? You should be here. You're missing out. You're missing the spectacular, right? Wouldn't that be fun? They wouldn't know what to do, would they? I'm going to read this again. John 12:20-21. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." These are Greeks. It doesn't say they were Greek Jews. It says they were Greeks. Did you know a lot of people say that the first non-Jewish people came in the pretty far, a long distance off from the new belief? Did you know these are Greeks? And they want to see Jesus? These are Greeks that want to see Jesus. Jesus knew his time was coming. There was this group that wanted to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. And I may not physically see him on this earth, but I can see him through you. And prayerfully, you can see him a little bit through me. And we can see him when he's working in our lives and transforming us. There's some of us that have, instead of embracing Jesus, we've embraced the enemy, who is Satan. We've embraced him in our life, and we've let him reign in our lives without even knowing it. Some of us have embraced him and allow him to reign in our lives with us knowing it. And I want to tell you that if that is you and you don't know it, like if Satan has taken the reins of your life and taken hold of your life and you don't even know it, and he's on the throne of your heart, you know what? It's time to allow Christ to come in and transform and renew and revitalize and get rid of all that garbage and debris and junk and stuff that you've just let sit there in your heart and ruin you as a person and continue to manipulate you into thinking that, yeah, you're okay with God, but in reality, you've been embracing what the enemy wants you to think and do. God's not satisfied with that. God wants all of us. He doesn't want bits and pieces. We like to throw him little trinkets here and there. But God's saying, no, 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 no. That's not what I'm after. I'm after you. I've come for you. Save us, save us. Those palms are waving. Save us. Do we know what we're actually saying? Do we know why we're waving the palms? Save us! Right? Do we just want to get saved from temporary stuff? They were just thinking so minuscule about the Roman occupation. They weren't thinking beyond this life. Jesus came to save us from beyond what would happen in this life. I wonder, have you embraced the Savior? He's come for you to redeem you. All that evil and baggage and garbage, and you may say, I'm not an evil person, I'm a good person. I've always been a good person. Everybody says I'm a good guy. I'm a good lady. I'm a good person. Well, our definition of good is not God's definition of good. God's definition of good is perfection. And if you're perfect, ask your neighbor. Ask your spouse, ask a loved one. They will say, you are not perfect. Not at all. You've got many flaws. Would you like me to list them for you? I can list them one by one, or I can list them 12 by 12, whatever you'd like. But they're waving the palm branches, and they're waving away, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us. And he's sitting on a colt, a little donkey colt. Save us. What's up, guys? Donkey colt. You like it? Donkey colt, right? He's going through town, donkey colt, and he is the most incredible, humble guy that you could ever meet on the face of this earth. We've never met anybody in the flesh like him. But prayerfully, some of us can reflect him. If you don't know this Jesus we're talking about, if you haven't discovered the power of Jesus Christ upon your life and embraced him and asked him to eradicate all that garbage in you, all that rage, that anger, that grief, that anguish, that frustration, that pain, that sorrow, all that baggage from your past that keeps hitting you in the face now, that keeps hindering you from who God wants you to be now, then maybe now is the time to do that. Maybe now is the time to truly embrace a God who has come to save you. From what? Yeah, from yourself, but also from a life apart from Him. So let's close our time. Let's close our time right now. And I'm going to pray. And if you desire to embrace Christ and receive Him, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. I am a sinner. And Lord, I need to be saved by you. I believe today that you have died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. That your blood was shed on that cross. And it covers my sin. Lord, you are the ultimate sacrifice. There's no longer any need for all those lambs to be sacrificed at Passover because you are the ultimate Lamb of God and you are the sacrifice. So, Lord, I come to you this morning believing that you died for me, but recognizing that you rose for me, that you conquered death. So, Lord, I can live a vibrant life, a life of freedom and peace and hope. Lord, it may not be the peace that this world is after, but it is the peace that no one can take from us. It is the joy that no one can corrupt. And Lord, I embrace you today, and I ask for freedom upon my life, freedom from the past, freedom from the enemy. Lord, purify me. Restore me, God, to who you want me to be. If you prayed that, I ask that you just look up at me for a second. Because God wants us to be free. Lord, empower us to be people that walk by freedom. May the spirit of freedom overflow in our hearts and our minds. And may the power of a transformational Savior be what our lives look like, rather than a life that is hindered by inadequacy and hindered by pain and hurt. May we discover your peace upon us this very morning. Pour out your spirit upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen.